This audio excerpt is from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean, read by the author. Chapter 3. Flight Failure. Even for January in Seattle, the fog tonight seemed impossibly dense. Good thing, Pip thought, because she was really going for it tonight. The Neverland or bust. Between her size, her dark clothes, and the fog, she would be next to invisible. Red lights from the open drawbridge pulsed, heartbeats suspended in the night's damp curtain. A ship's horn sounded, signaling its successful passage. The bridge tooted in response, its open jaws slowly leveling to flat roadway once again. She'd thought of using this bridge quite a while ago. She just hadn't tried it until now. Pudge's jeering had convinced her to go for it. No glory in being known as the kid who tried to do a Peter Pan if she didn't follow through. The bridge bells stopped dinging, and the safety arms lifted for traffic to resume its onward push. The breath Pip had been holding came out in a whoosh. No point in putting it off. It wouldn't get any easier, that was for sure. She hiked her backpack a little higher, feeling the awkward shift of the bulk tied beneath. The suspended red velour case held her mother's swords. The swords were the only thing Pip had left of her parents and their life in the theater. She thought of them as her legacy. 5 years ago, Piper had been the most accomplished 5-year-old swordsperson in the city. But, like anything that made her think too painfully of her missing parents, she tended to avoid the swords. She'd only retrieve them tonight from their hiding place because if she really did make it to the Neverland, if she got the chance to save her parents, she would need these swords. The first step onto the bridge's sidewalk was the hardest. Her legs felt like cooked green beans. But she could do it. She could put one foot in front of the other. It was only another 50 paces to reach the middle. Reaching the center of the bridge span, Piper hoisted herself onto the broad metal rail, kneeling a moment while she collected the courage to stand. One advantage of pea soup fog, she couldn't see the water below at all, not with her eyes. Her stomach seemed to see it just fine. Breathing through her nose, she shifted to a squat and then pushed to her feet. She wished she could see the sky. She'd wanted to look at the stars as she aimed for them. Even a seagull in flight would do. Well, she would just have to imagine them. Pip closed her eyes and stretched her arms out to the sides. She pictured stars and birds. She saw her parents' faces in her mind's eye. Their smiles helped unwind the ropey knot in her gut. With a nod of decision, she opened her eyes and allowed her weight to tip forward. Something big buzzed past her nose. Pip jerked her head back, batting the glowing blur away with one hand. What was that? A weird giant firefly? She'd barely recovered her balance when metal on metal crashed behind her. Before she could turn to see what it was, an arm hooked her around the waist and dragged her off the rail. "Oh, no, you don't." She couldn't see the man's face, only a headlight beaming from his bicycle helmet. It lit the screaming yellow-clad arm holding her like a vise. A matching arm appeared, its hand holding the lit face of a cell phone. He dialed 911. Piper struggled, trying to get loose. She could run, somewhere, anywhere, but the arm only squeezed tighter. "Emergency on University Bridge. A kid almost jumped." She fought harder. The man cursed, yanked her into the air, and dragged her against his hip. The phone cracked into her head as he tried to keep her still. Sirens wailed. Hot tears flooded down her cheeks. It wasn't the first time she'd ridden in a fire engine. But it was the first time she'd been too miserable to enjoy it even a little. The fireman had called CPS. Miss Henning had told them she was a ward of Mrs. Fitch. Now they were driving her back there. Sandwiched between two bulky men in uniforms, all she could do was watch with dread. Lights flashing, they pulled up to the foster home. The fire truck barely fit on this narrow city street, with cars parked for the night on both sides. "Come on, little miss," The lead fireman looked at the house and back at Piper. His eyes revealed a flash of sympathy. "Let's get this over with, shall we?" Piper didn't bother to answer. She slid over and allowed the man to help her down onto the sidewalk. Her whole body felt like lead. This was the very worst thing she could have imagined. No flight to the Neverland, and no quick end, either. The pain she was in for wouldn't be nearly as brief